Philippians 4:8. Finally, my brethren, fill your minds with things that are true, honest, and just. Think about things that are noble, pure, and lovely. Focus on good reports about others. If any good has happened, or there is any reason to praise man or God, think about those things.
Let's bow our heads as we get started here. We do thank you, Father, for this particular text. As we review it today, we pray your blessing will be here to give us deeper understanding of what it means. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The influence of thought, the privilege we have of studying the book of Daniel from Scripture the past 2 weeks using this quarter's Bible study guide. And I hope that you're enjoying this particular study on a day-to-day basis. How encouraging it is to know that around the world, there are millions of Seventh-day Adventists studying this guide, this story about Daniel and his friends in association with our Sabbath school classes. For those of you who attend the midweek service in the ALC, the book of Daniel has been the basis for the study that our pastor has been leading for the past several weeks. And I believe that many of you are enjoying that. There's a host of good reasons to study this book at this particular time in world history. I suspect that some of you watch the news, so you know what I'm talking about. Among the many things that the book of Daniel teaches us is the reality that there is no substitute for the unrelenting study of the Bible and prayer. Preparing for this sermon, the idea came to my mind that Daniel is such a timeless example of someone who was always using good judgment. Would you agree with me on that? Yeah, he was quite a fellow, wasn't he? Could it be that Daniel's life is such a classic example because he was operating with a clear mind? Peter seems to indicate the connection as he wrote in 1 Peter 1, verse 13. So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the special blessings that will come to you at the return of Jesus Christ. So what is the import of thinking those clear and uplifting thoughts? As Paul is concluding his letter to the Philippians, he seems to have been given a profound understanding of the power and influence of human thought. In our opening scripture for the morning, Paul delineates that which the Holy Spirit has given him as a bit of very good, timely inspiration. And it's not just timely for the Philippians, is it? Can you just guess where Christ would want the minds of his followers to be today? Paraphrasing now, let's review that scripture once more. Finally, brethren, or in conclusion now, or in summary, here's a last bit of advice. Whatever is truth as opposed to fiction, whatever is just over prejudice, purity rather than vulgarity, lovely in place of repulsive, the gracious report, not the malicious one, looking for the virtuous, not the disgraceful, something that is praiseworthy rather than offensive. Let your thoughts occupy this environment. Paul must have been familiar with the wisdom of Solomon, as we find that he wrote in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So using these references and other similar ones as found in Scripture, the Holy Spirit gives us a secure and a magnificent guide for our thoughts. Paul in particular offers up wonderful admonition by which we may straighten our own thoughts His counsel is compelling for all time, even for us here with 2020 vision. Here it is again from another perspective. Focus only on absolute truth, sterling honesty, impartial justice, purity of the heart, the beautiful things of life, the good news, virtue that articulates moral dignity, living that well-deserved praise to our God. These must ever be the thoughts of our focus. Oh, the power and the influence of our thoughts, both on ourselves and upon others. Just think about it. Whatever conscious word or action is displayed by humanity, it was first a thought that was hatched between your ears. Without exception, our thoughts originate in the brain through the miracle called the senses. And despite what many of us believe, it's important to remember that nothing which enters the brain ever actually leaves it. No wonder the devil has made it his chief industry to distort, distract, dumb down, and deceive human beings. Are you aware that sin actually had its origin in the thoughts of the heart? You're familiar with the text in Isaiah 14, verses 12 and 13. How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You've been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. How well we know this morning that not one speck of God's universe was improved upon by that thought. Experience shows us that humanity either rises or falls to the level of things that we think about. Cain had malicious thoughts toward his brother Abel, and it wasn't long until these thoughts were translated into first-degree murder. God questions Cain there in Genesis 4, verse 6 to 8. Why are you looking so angry, the Lord asked him, and why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you respond in the right way, but if you refuse to respond correctly, then watch out. Sin is waiting to attack and destroy you, and you must subdue it. Later, Cain suggested to his brother Abel, let's go out into the fields. And while they were there, Cain attacked and killed his brother. Right there on the spot, Abel became the first murder victim in the entire universe. And it all started with a thought. David was a good example of a bad example. He allowed filthiness to invade his thoughts. Very quickly, those thoughts were translated into adultery and murder. You can follow the storyline in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Here's how it goes. Late one afternoon, David got out of bed. Can you sense a developing problem here? I mean, David was not even a senior citizen. David got out of bed after taking a nap and went for a stroll on the roof of the palace. As he looked over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. Then David sent for her. You see, David elected to ponder the thought. The thoughts that came to his mind were not found on the list which we are focused on this morning. And sorry to say, you know the rest of the story. But let us praise God that departure from sin also begins with a thought process. Reference the story in Luke 15. You know the story in a familiar way. There was a certain young man, and he made a decision. He felt he deserved his share of his father's estate. And upon receiving it, he squandered it all away. Eventually, things got so bad for him that he began to see the real problem. And there in verse 17 of chapter 15, we read, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired men have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. You see, this young man got to thinking. And in verse 18, we read the results of his thoughts. When at the depths of this self-induced squalor, he made a very sensible decision. I am going home. The discovery of his fallen condition opened his mind to rediscover the true facts of life. I think you can see that this young man found himself being encouraged by the Holy Spirit to discard his Laodicean mindset. Right there in the company of some particular animals, he was abruptly and radically stricken with the recognition that he was not so rich after all. He came to the grim understanding that he was now without the essential necessities of life. Oh, the value of an empty purse. No wonder the devil has made it his primary trade to distort, distract, dumb down, and deceive human beings. Now today it's more crucial than ever that we should have the mastery over our thoughts. There may be no more a challenging task in the entire world than bringing our thoughts into subjection of the will. Yet, by the grace of God, we can do so. This happens as we turn our will over to Him. In so doing, we will advance accordingly down that intended pathway which God has already planned for our lives. In a sense, this is a parallel to young Daniel. Can you imagine him there reading that special message from the Lord as it was written to the exiles in Babylon by Jeremiah? This message is found in Jeremiah 29. Verse 3 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." Can you imagine Daniel reading that along with the other exiles there in Babylon? I suspect he kept these words of Jeremiah utmost in his mind over the years. And like Daniel, we can have the triumph over our thoughts, our words, and our actions as we turn our will over to the Lord. Daniel knew this as victory in Jesus. Now consider for a moment just how important is the admonition that Paul gives us, especially how it relates to some other qualities in our lives. For example, there is the importance of our thoughts as they influence our happiness. Someone has said, our common happiness really does not hang upon what we view, but rather upon our point of view. And there may be some truth to that statement, yet clearly Paul, in his listing of these most valuable qualities, provides us with a clear pathway to systemic happiness. And there are countless other traits in our lives that are enhanced as we follow his counsel. As we're considering our thoughts, we must wonder how much our unconscious thoughts influence not only ourselves, but those who are around us. Think of Peter, who stated once upon a time that he thought he was going to go fishing. You may read John 21:3 to find out that his colleagues responded, "Well, then we're going to go with you." Or how about the thoughts of one named Ahab, whose thoughts were translated into robbery and murder? You can look up 1 Kings 21 for the story of Ahab, Jezebel, and Naboth. You may recall just how sick King Ahab thought he was, all because his neighbor refused to sell him a piece of property that was located right next to his palace. He thought that he wanted to plant a vegetable garden there for himself. And through a process of dishonesty and deception, Ahab and his wife Jezebel promptly put an end to Naboth. In verse 19 of this chapter, we listen as God tells Elijah what to say to Ahab as a result of this line of thought. Elijah located Ahab right there in his neighbor's vineyard, taking possession of what he thought was rightfully his. This is what the Lord says. Isn't killing Naboth bad enough? Must you now rob him as well? And in the last 9 verses of this chapter follows the resulting prophecy as it was given to Elijah on Ahab's account. What an incredibly sad story, highlighting the facilitation of wrong thoughts and where it led the king and the queen of Israel. No wonder it's the devil's principal objective to distort, distract, dumb down, and deceive us human beings. Now, what about the influence of thought in our own temptations? I am certain that you have noticed that fleeting temptations can suddenly become severely intensified when we allow them to control our thoughts. Anybody have any experience with this? Accordingly, here are a few safeguards for our thoughts. Let us ever be mindful that God knows our every thought. David wrote about this in Psalms 94:11. The Lord knows people's thoughts, that they are worthless. We are advised to forsake every evil thought. Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the people turn from their wicked deeds. Let them banish from their minds the very thought of doing wrong." Paul admonishes us to bring into captivity or into subjection every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5 informs us that we use God's mighty weapons, not merely worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's strongholds. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. We conquer their rebellious ideas and then teach them to obey Jesus Christ. So friends, let's make sure that every morning our thoughts center on the One. The One who is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, of good report, and who alone is worthy of our praise. Then let us give Him the praise in that good report of what He has done for us. What's a great way to begin to do that? Engage yourself in a conversation with Him. Do so just as you have that very first conscious thought each morning. Ask Him for help to be just like Him, just for today. Then slide out of your bed to your knees, and in humility, ask Him again. You know He will never turn down a request of this nature. Here's a couple more references that will direct your attention to those blessings of the thoughts that are stayed upon God. Isaiah 26:3 says, you know this one, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." From Philippians 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be also in you that is in Christ Jesus." Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you." The scriptures, from the King James perspective, list nearly 200 texts containing the word thought, thoughts, think, or thinking. It's a fairly substantial volume of texts that are devoted to this subject, and we have reviewed just a few of those here this morning. You can take it upon yourself to review more of them later. They're wonderful texts. Many of them are just magnificent. Of course, there are many other words that are synonyms for the word thought or think. One of my favorites is the word consider. Consider basically means to think it through, or to ponder this, or to give it some thought. A couple of beloved texts quickly come to mind when considering the word consider. The first one is found in Matthew 6:28. You know this text already. Consider the lily. What this text is basically saying is this. Think of the most beautiful things that God has made. Now, how much time or energy does this most gorgeous of flowers spend upon itself worrying about the necessities of life? If God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care about you? Another text that has come to mind rather frequently over the years is found in Hebrews 12, verses 3 to 6. Here it is in what I call the revised form. Just keep thinking about Jesus. Think of all that he has done for us, despite that we all have done to him. Do this to keep from becoming discouraged or depressed. After all, Mark, you haven't given up your life in your struggle against sin. Have you entirely forgotten those words of encouragement that he spoke to you as children? He says, my son, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you. Don't be discouraged when he corrects you. Remember, the Lord disciplines those that he loves, and he punishes those that he accepts as his children. So this morning, in conclusion, let us remember each day to cheerfully do our part in cooperating with his effort to keep our thoughts pure and in harmony with his will. Daily Bible study and prayer will be of great value for those who appreciate how deeply Jesus loves each one of us. Jesus, lover of my soul. Father, we thank you for your wonderful promises that you will be with us, that you will strengthen us, encourage us, and how grateful we are for that. We want to thank you for helping us to think the thoughts that you would have put in our minds, that each day we might be remembering, thinking about what you have done for us. Father, we thank you as we have been able to spend time here in your sanctuary, and now we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.